Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, cinema manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair Satchell, a film and theatre maker and podcaster from the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair Satchell, you did your surname today. What is this podcast about?
I am very formal today. Yes, this podcast is about what happens when the public and public spaces meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? It's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger and leave things. Or bits of tinsel. Because it's our Christmas episode.
New Year, holidays, Christmas.
Merry New Year, to quote my one of my absolute favourite films, Merry New Year.
What's that from?
Oh, Trading Places, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's the bit in the train, Merry New Year. It's so good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I am. What have I got to report? So, as we're recording this, it is mid-December. So, I have a few Christmas films on that are planned, but have not yet been executed, shown. It's not yet
taken in the back alley and shot in the back of the head.
But Christmas Eve is always extremely busy at Campbelltown Picture House, and it's gearing up to be the same this year. We've got Home Alone, Elf, Muppet Christmas Carol, and then Wonka as well, which is obviously out at the moment, which is Brills, and I love it. So an awful lot of bits to report on in the new year, I imagine.
I think that's kind of why we wanted to talk as well, is because cinema means so much to people and audiences at Christmas time. I wanted to kind of understand, what does this mean to you? Because when I live, obviously, here in the Isle of Mull, it's not easy to get to the cinema, but we'll watch films very, very much so on the television as part of our kind of holiday routine. And but I wanted to find out, what do you think Christmas means to cinema audiences? And what are the kind of big successes for you in terms of artistic and also business means within the film world? A lot of questions. Go.
Okay. Christmas means to us. It's one of the times of year that makes me quite anxious, because for the business side, if we don't have a good Christmas, then we've lost an opportunity to earn a lot of money. It's one of the times of year that buoys up the rest of the year. Actually get quite worried around about Christmas, because I know that I need to make a lot of money to get us through January, February, where things are not quite so salubrious. And a lot of that relies on the Christmas film. We've got a lovely tradition. We've sort of, Campbelltown audiences tend to come out on Christmas Eve.
Lovely.
I think there was one thing that I worked out that, oh, I'm going to get the percentage wrong. I'm going to have to do a little drop in later. But it was something like 5% of the population of Campbelltown were in the picture house on New Year's Eve one year, because it was just,
really?
It was packed. We had, I don't know, three screenings in screen one, three screenings in screen two, and they all pretty much sold out. And so I sort of did the maths on it.
What do you think that means to your audience? This is, you know, economics is one thing, but when there's kind of the emotional meaning behind it, what does it mean to your community?
It's all the Christmas things about coming together and sharing traditions with family. It's all that kind of stuff, and doing it at the cinema. In other countries, in Australia, it was a tradition to go to the cinema on Christmas Day. That was a huge thing. Thankfully, that's not a tradition in Scotland, because my staff weren't open, wouldn't enjoy that.
When my mum was wee, Christmas really wasn't the thing that you celebrated. It was more the New Year that you celebrated in Scotland.
That's the That's very much the Scottish.
There's some legacy of that as well within things. But,
maybe, yeah.
What then, in terms of, so it's about being together, it's about fellowship in its purest sense of the word, which is just lovely, and that shared experience, which is, you know, in academic theory, they talk about the transfixing beam, you know, that white light that shines from the back of the audience over their head and you know, fixes their gaze on the screen, as it used to be. But what are the films that you'd say have made most connection with an audience at Christmas time? Predator?
Predator and Predator 2. Alien versus Predator.
Oh, yes, yeah, the classic one.
It's your Home Alones, it's your Elves, it's your Muppet. Not so much the Muppets in Campbelltown, which I'm disappointed about. I know. I mean, it's not reviled. It's just
the greatest of all Christmas films.
It's the greatest of all Christmas films. It's the greatest of all Michael Caine roles.
Oh, he's amazing in it. I love Michael Caine, but this, he just is the greatest. He gives the greatest performance of his career in that film.
He really does.
I love it so much.
And it's genuinely the greatest adaptation of Christmas Carol.
To my taste, certainly as well.
That's not even a joke answer.
Not the Rat, as Dickens wrote, but no, it really is. So it gets to the essence of it so clearly. It's brilliant.
Mm. And then we put on something along the lines of "It's a Wonderful Life." For this year, we're doing White Christmas actually, which is not proving terribly popular.
It's not the best of films, unfortunately. White Christmas, if I remember rightly. It's a strange one. Have you ever seen The Bishop's Wife at all?
No, but that keeps... So before Christmas each year, I put out a sort of post on Facebook saying, you know, what films do you want to see? And Bishop's Wife does come up quite a lot. So I'm thinking of doing that one next year.
It's very good. Cary Grant at Christmas is... And, you know, David Niven and Cary Grant together, it's quite remarkable.
Yeah. We've also got National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation this year.
Oh.
After a campaign from one of our listeners to the podcast, actually. Hi, Dave. Who really wanted to see it. So
it's a great film.
Is it?
It's really, really stressful. Yeah, no, there's the stunt in the start of it. So Col, my son, watched it last year for the first time properly. And there's a stunt, when I was watching a bit of it with him, when the Griswolds are in their car on the motorway and they get stuck underneath the lorry. It's absolutely amazing. It's properly really stressful and it's it's very good. And they are all horrible.
Is it problematic? Am I going to be worried about the problematic elements? Really?
I don't remember any problematic stuff. No, I don't think there's anything.
Okay.
I mean, it's Chevy Chase, so there's always an element of
yes, just the edges just and borders. His existence in the film is potentially involved.
Yeah. I think he'd given up the cocaine by that point, but yeah, I think he's a great comic actor. No two ways about it. And it's an interesting movie because it pulls at kind of sentimentality in a fascinating way. And it does identify that Christmas isn't necessarily the happiest of time for some people. And so there's a lot in it. I think is it a John Landis movie as well?
Great question. Let's Google that and then you can say
we're
that
just going
again.
To pause the podcast for a second.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is an American Christmas comedy movie. Co-produced by John Hughes.
John Hughes.
Directed by Jeremiah Cheshnik. Cheshik. Mm. Never heard of him. Mm. Written and co-produced by John Hughes.
No, it's John Hughes. I was thinking, not John Landis. Sorry, I do apologise, listener. And Ellen, I apologise to you as well.
Yes, you've let me down. You've let the listeners down. But worst of all...
I've shat the bed. The that's one of my favourite jokes of all time about the naughty balloon. Do you know that one at all?
No. I don't.
So we've given the punchline away, but little balloon turns 18 and goes out with his pals. He goes back home 3 in the morning, absolutely pished. Pished beyond belief. Goes into his mum and dad's bedroom and pished and looks down and sees his mummy balloon's not there in front of him and does it. She goes, sees his daddy balloon's not and does it. Looks down, sees his scrawny own 18-year-old not. Next morning, they're lying there, limp, inert, and the dad leans over and goes, "Son, you've let your mother down. You've let me down. But worst of all, You've let yourself down. Still one of my favourite jokes.
I was expecting it to be lewd.
No.
Be with that.
It's lovely, you know. It's just so simple. I like that movie. But what would you say your top Christmas movies are?
For me, myself, to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Die Hard, obviously.
Oh, the German classic, Die Harde.
Die Harde.
I love that.
Well, now, this is embarrassing, but I do have a habit of watching absolute nonsense. You know the Netflix films? The Christmas Netflix films.
Castle for Christmas and all that shit.
Love it.
Oh, no.
I'm on 3 a day.
Oh. Hallmark. Have you got a subscription to Hallmark Channel?
If Hallmark Channel existed by streaming, cannot bloody get enough of it. Absolutely love it. But actual answer, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's interesting. It's very bleak.
Well, you know me. It's, you know, about the struggle of existence and never feeling good enough to live. So it taps right into
enjoy your Christmas
feelings at Christmas. I think those two, Die Hard, It's a Wonderful Life. I'd watch It's a Wonderful Life first and then cheer myself up with Die Hard.
Oh, Die Hard is such... I've got the Die Hard Christmas book. I've got the Die Hard colouring book.
Amazing.
We've got pals coming over to watch Die Hard next week and before they go off down south for their Christmas. I'm really looking forward to it. It's not Christmas until Hans falls from the Nakatomi Plaza.
No.
It's really that.
Would that be yours? What's yours?
I love Die Hard. I think it's an absolutely brilliant movie. It's a totally... it's a really tight action movie. It's just great storytelling in terms of the action form. I just love it. McTiernan, the director, I think I've spoken about this before on the podcast, but I love McTiernan's work. I think he's an incredible director. Not so good at paying tax, but he's very, very fine at his work. And he's done a lot of bobbins as well, but when he's on form, my goodness, he's really good. McTiernan is also one of the directors whose perspective I really thought was very interesting. As a filmmaker, I've always had problems with storyboarding. It's a really, really useful tool, but the way that film is so often taught, storyboarding is taught as the dominant form of this is how you must construct your film, which I don't agree with. I think there are so many different ways to construct each project around what is organic to that project. But McTiernan said he doesn't use it as a means of visually constructing his images. He uses it as a pre-visualization tool for budget stuff so the producers and the finance department can understand, okay, so we're going to need to crash 3 helicopters in quick succession in central Los Angeles. So that's going to be, So he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I'm very fond of Muppet Christmas Carol. I think that is one of the most beautiful, beautiful, sincere movies and so much fun. Another one I really enjoy as well is Scrooged, the Bill Murray movie.
Oh, okay.
I can't watch it without crying. It's one that really just... and there's so much going on in the background of it as well. There's loads of Free South Africa stuff going on in the background because of the period when it's made as well. And there's a lot of really... And Bobcat Goldthwait is in it, who's one of my heroes. I love Bobcat Goldthwait. Have you ever seen any of his films at all?
I expect so.
He made World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams. So Bobcat Goldthwait as a stand-up comedian is just... he's quite extraordinary. He takes very grotesque things and twists them into sort of poetic and philosophical means. He's a bit like George Carlin in that way. Love him. But his films take very dark themes and twist them around. I can't remember the name of the one. God Bless America, which is about... a man and a girl who just get guns and just decide, fuck it, let's shoot some people up. God. And like, she's a high school teenager and she's really, she's so fed up. It's like Mean Girls, but with guns. It's absolutely extraordinary. It's such a it's so brilliantly American, of the brutality of American humor when it's really, really clever. So I recommend that very, very strongly, because it just offers a different slant on things. He's using brutality as a mirror to society, and he's great. World's Greatest Dad, of course, is the other one that I think is absolutely amazing. Robin Williams gives a most beautiful performance in that, really, really something. It's about a teen who dies by their own hand, and the father is left going, well, what do I do? How can I kind of survive this? And he realises, well, there's his diary. If I wrote his diary up to make him look like a great poetic genius, surely that would give his legacy something. And so he does. But the problem is, the reality was, the boy was a douchebag. And it's fantastic. Fantastic! It's a dark. They're all dark movies, but there's such human poetry in them. I recommend them very strongly. Scrooged is one I love, and Bishop's Wife, not seen too often. Love that one too, and I was always, as a kid, whenever the Snoopy Christmas thing came on the telly, I always felt like, oh, it was just the best. So I'm very fond of that as well. And Elf. Elf is great.
I enjoy Elf. I've just realised we're talking about feature films here. So because the actual answer, if we're talking about all films, is of course The Snowman, Father Christmas, The Snowman and the Snow Dog, The Bear, Grandpa, and I think that's the end of the Christmas based Raymond Briggs.
And there is a output. There is a connection there as well with those films. There is someone involved in those.
There is. Roger Mainwood. Also, Ethel and Ernest, which isn't a Christmas film, but was released around about Christmas, and is the greatest film of all time.
Yeah. These are truths that we will accept.
Yes.
Universally, all of us. Fab. No, it means so much. Christmas stuff means so much to you. But this, when we were talking before the podcast as well, we were talking about things that scar our memories. I was talking to my mate Ewan about a podcast that I discovered, which I recommend very strongly to the listener, which is called Scarred for Life, and it is fantastic. Scarred for Life is a book series, two books, about 1970s and 80s TV and popular culture, and what's all those kind of horrible things like The Spirit of Deep Water.
Oh god. And, I was just thinking about that, the boy that got his foot cut off because he went through the tunnel with the train.
Yeah, that's all that stuff's in there. So what happens with Scarred for Life is that the there's a host, and the three authors of the books, and a guest discuss three things that have scarred the guest. And it is fantastic. So, so interesting. And Ellen, you were saying about something from popular culture that scarred you completely when you were a young person,
it's too bleak. It's The never ending story when the horse, when Artax. Oh God. And it's not because a horse, I mean, I love horses.
Your teeth aren't that big.
Yeah, sorry. I love horses, but it wasn't that the horse died as such, although that was tragic. It was that it was too sad to move. That's why it couldn't. It could have got out of the swamp, but it was too sad. And that just resonated so much with me and my family. Mm. And it's just the most tragic thing. And I didn't realise until actually last year when we screened the film at Campbelltown Picture House, which I didn't watch because it's too, I might cry, Alistair, but it's too, because it's too tragic. But then Gemma, who works for me, she revealed that the horse actually survives and comes back at the end. But I never knew this because I never got past the point where the horse was in, went into the swamp because it was too tragic. So I just thought the horse died. Until actually last year, so for 40 years, 35 years,
wow.
I thought. I mean, I didn't think about it every day, but the amount of times that I thought, I would say once a week, I thought about Artax being too sad to save himself, and what that means. And it was always awful.
Such a great film.
It's an awful film. It's a horrible film.
It's really scary. There's some proper dark stuff in there. Those kind of giant sphinx-like statues as well that kind of zap people that go, if ever you get a chance to read the book by Michael Ende, it's really good.
No.
It's extraordinary.
Does the horse get too sad to move and go into a swamp? Because
there's another Michael Ende book which you might like more than called Momo, which I really recommend as well. Really a very fine writer for young people's fiction, but also it's got lots of stuff for adults in it.
I don't trust him.
Really great writer. he made the sad horse die.
I won't do it. Although bringing it back to Christmas, watching the snowman is a traumatic incident from my childhood.
Have you seen Jim O'Paint's interpretation of the snowman?
No, I don't think I'd like it if he's mocking it.
It's so good. It's maybe six or seven. No, it's about five frames. I think it is. It's really good. If you if you know Jim O'Paint's work online, go and Google it. It's very well observed. The mold on the tangerine is such a spectacular observation. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Look at it.
So we've got. We've got to say congratulations to a listener and their team, Kyle, over in Broadway in Prestwick. Congratulations. What amazing news.
What is they? Go on. Do you want to say what their news is?
They've secured the purchase of the Broadway in Prestwick for the community cinema, which is just amazing. And their plans are so exciting. So we'll maybe see if we can get Kyle on at some point to come and talk about what it is, because it'd be lovely to talk about a cinema before it's actually hatched as well.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to Kyle because I'd love to talk to him a few times along the journey to see how he's getting on and how stressed and tired he is throughout. But no, it's wonderful. It's absolutely brilliant. Very happy for them.
Superb. Congratulations. Cool. Anything else we want to talk about before we think about our plans for the next season?
Yes. I don't think so. I'm too distraught thinking about Artax. So I don't know if I can go on with
Deep Roy, isn't it? Deep Roy, sorry, isn't it? He's amazing Indian actor who is a small person. And he's been in all sorts of extraordinary shows over the years, and he played Mr. Sin in Doctor Who, The Talons of Wing Chang, and he's been in, probably best known for the Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He plays all of the Oompa Loompas in that.
Oh, right.
Really, really good. So he's a great part in that. So it's one of the few ones where you see him without kind of makeup or without as an odd character. He was really, I like that. But before we go, are there any films that are out for Christmas that you recommend that an audience sees?
Wonka.
Which are new?
Wonka.
Tell us why.
Wonka.
Tell us why.
Because it is a joy. It's an absolute joy from start to finish. If you like Paddington, if you like the sort of sense of humour of Paddington, it is that in spades. It's magical. It's joyful. It will uplift you. It's got all British comedians in small parts. every few minutes you go, oh, that's Phil Wang. Or it's great. It is a proper treat.
Have a lovely Christmas. Have a great new year. See you all soon.
Happy Christmas. Bye. Oh.